All right, I'm recording.
Okay. What was I just going to say?
I'm going to be eating soup here, though. So.
Yeah, can't be a podcast unless you're doing something to distract yourself. No, it's fine. I don't care. Will you slurp right into the mic? That's what the people want. It's ASMR.
Because no. I hate it when people jokingly are recording a podcast and they jokingly will eat food in the mic. Be like, haha, this is going to be so gross to the listeners. And I'm like... It is.
I feel like you've done that, though, on our podcast.
Not really. Oh, we're taking, like, one bite of something. But
every time I have to hear you crochet, it's just so loud.
Yeah, I'm going to come to San Francisco for my birthday.
I'm so excited.
Not for my actual birthday, but for like
a week birthday before. Trip. Yeah. So at the end of February? I don't remember. Yeah. Is your birthday the 3rd?
March 6th.
6th.
Which is a Sunday.
Nice.
So I'm going to try to be back for the 5th and the 6th so I can do something with David here. But I think I'm going to try to get a cheap flight.
Cool. Well, let me know and I'll, you know, I'll put it in the old calendar.
I was going to do the train, because the train from, like, Denver to Chicago is, like, 18 hours, which is roughly the amount of time you drive, right? It's not that far.
Mm-hmm.
Or not that long. Day and a half-ish. Or no, it's just a day. But for whatever reason, the train from Denver to San Francisco takes 33 hours.
I imagine and they must need to go more slowly through the mountains.
Through the mountains, yeah.
It's not, like, a straight shot.
Yeah, so I was like, because the train from Chicago to Denver, it's just one line.
It just goes.
Through Nebraska and Iowa, yeah. So
easy.
I was like, maybe I'll do a train. And then it was like $500 and also 30 hours long. And I was like, I don't think I can sit on a train for 30 hours. I'm going to pass.
Not with that attitude?
So I think I'm going to try to find a cheap flight and come to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And I'll just work there for a week. I won't take any time off or anything. But
no, I mean, that's fine because we can... We'll probably be back in the office by then, I'm hoping, so we can go into the office and work. We can work in my apartment. We can go work and go and get park, like whatever.
Coffee house. So fun.
We can go to a wine bar and work
from
there.
I think I'll try to do like a week and a half. Like I'll fly in on like a Tuesday night and leave on like a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I'll do. And then I'll see Sabrina.
My friend Sabrina. We'll go to Hot Pot. That's really the only place I see Sabrina is I'm like, we need Hot Pot. We did go to baseball that one time.
I want to go out with Sabrina because she was always my going out friend in Ann Arbor.
Well, you guys can do that. I'm not going.
I want to go out. I haven't gone
I just want to dance.
I haven't gone out since the time that I went out with Sabrina and then slept until 5 p.m. the next day.
I mean, I would go out for drinks. That's a good way to go out, though. I'm not going out to have to dance or anything.
Well, yeah. No, I just want to go like out and go to a... I don't know, bars, clubs, the scene.
Yeah, get your freak on. Touch somebody's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Stranger ass is the best ass.
Is it?
I mean.
I like David's butt.
Do you?
Yeah.
Describe it.
No.
You have to be objective about it, and I just think you're not.
I don't think you can date someone this long and not like their butt.
You'd be surprised.
Like coming from experience.
Yeah, let me tell you.
Every butt I've been with.
You see an ass once, you've seen it a million times. It gets old. And as it gets old, it starts to lose some texture.
Oh my God. You beg them, like, put some retinol on there.
Please.
Tighten it up.
Yeah. Use tape.
Exfoliate.
I don't care. You tape the sides of your ass up the front to your hips, and then it holds it, and it looks real nice. You know that they have the tape for boobs so you don't have to wear a bra, like if you're wearing a dress with a low neckline or a low back or something? Same thing for asses.
None of this is going in the podcast.
Yeah, it is. This is the whole intro.
Oh my God. If you hear any of my soup eating in the recording, please
we'll
silence
see.
It.
Maybe I'm going to copy it and paste it as a track underneath the whole time.
And make it so loud. It's like Becca swallowing. Disgusting.
I think
no, because some people have like sensory like very sensitive to different like sounds.
Sure, but other people
really don't like.
Other people get sexually aroused by the sound of women eating. So how do we serve both audiences, right?
That's like what pundits saying they need to be fair to both sides sound like.
Some people find this really uncomfortable. Other people want to masturbate to it. We've got to meet them somewhere in the middle.
We have to meet in the middle.
Yeah, what's the compromise? You chew once to yourself, but I still get to masturbate. I mean, people
you
still
just
get
know
to.
That I'm Oops. Eating, but you don't get to hear it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you that I'm
can,
about to eat.
Yeah, you noise cancel it, but I'm like, oh my God, it's happening. That seems fine. I guess I could do that. Did you notice I got new glasses? I don't know if I like them.
I did. I do like them.
I just like my other ones so much.
Yeah, but I like the clear on the bottom. That's what my old ones were.
Mm-hmm. I think these do look a little bit like your old ones. And then Chris also just got new glasses that aren't terribly dissimilar from this. I'm like, oh no.
What brand are they?
Glasses.
Are they from Warby Parker?
No. These say, it says Jocelyn. It's Barton Pereira. I don't know. I got them at a fancy glasses shop over in the Haight.
Okay.
They took Mine so was... long to do my sunglasses that they're like, we'll give you free lenses for any frame. And I said, okay, I'll buy a frame and give you free lenses.
Yeah, mine were from Warby Parker. My old ones that look like that were from Kate Spade, and I loved those. I had them for 4 years, and then they were too scratched. So
the Warby Parker ones are nice, but I can never find any that are big enough for me.
That's interesting. Because they needed my, like, pupillary measurements before they would send them.
Oh, yeah. No, I had to do that, too. But, I mean, overall lens size. Like, my blue glasses are so big. And I like them like that because when I ride the scooter, it helps block the air, the wind. Mm. But a lot of the Warby ones big. I can never find that are big enough for my face. I try them out. I'm like,
Yeah. I like these. I like the clear ones. It's very in style right now. And it goes with everything. Because it's just clear.
Well, that's why I got them, is I thought, you know, I'll wear them under different outfit circumstances, perhaps. But I think the blue ones are going to be still my go-to. Because it's the same prescription, so.
Nice.
I just love them.
Yeah. House check. We're still buying a house. We put in an offer today.
Okay.
I'm doing it.
Cool.
It actually was really complicated because it is technically a mobile home. Built in 1972 and placed on foundation, and then they built like an addition on it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that means it still has to get appraised by the bank who's giving you the loan as a mobile home there are federal laws about appraisals and with mobile homes. And there's a cutoff here of like when you can get a loan, and the mobile home has to have been built after 1976.
Okay.
And this one was built in 1972.
Womp womp.
So the first lender that had pre-approved us, they came back and they were like, actually, no.
We pre-approved you based on the numbers, and then we actually read your application and said, oh gosh, no.
Yeah. And then I asked, because they gave us a really, really low rate. And so I asked them, what if we got a loan for just the land? Because it's a big piece of land on a big lake. And I was like, just what if we told you we're going to knock that thing over and replace it? So we just want a loan for the land. And they were like, that's a great idea. Unfortunately, it is illegal. And I was like, that's
like,
dumb.
So what though? Like, are you a coward? What are you afraid of?
What are you,
Joe Biden's going to come to your house and tell you it was okay that white kid killed people?
What was I saying? No, you got me distracted.
You talk about houses.
Trial. The trial is like very anticlimactic because we all knew what was going
to
happen. Because it's been the most fucked up process.
It's the saddest thing about being in this terrible country is like there was no expectation that he was going to get any time or any sort of anything.
Yeah.
Oh, it made me so angry when I saw that, even though I knew it was coming.
We at least got, like, Derek Chauvin in prison, but this kid's fucking just gonna walk free.
Well, he's gonna get jobs from this. He's gonna be like a celebrity for assholes. Oh, yeah. And then inevitably he'll end up on Dancing with the Stars, like, so we can,
oh god no,
we can rehabilitate him and be like, this no. kid killed two people no. and now he's spinning in a circle.
But I bet you want to see him do the foxtrot.
Yeah. Just like he foxtrotted around those charges. I hate it.
It's sad, and I don't even know what to do about it other than be sad and angry. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really either, because I'm like, who am I going to call about it? Like, my uh-huh. senators can't do shit. It's judicial system. Jury. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't call it a jury of his peers. So
right,
yeah, the whole system's fucked, and it's like, what do you do? And I know, you know, Taylor said a thing about people saying just vote, and I'm like, that Taylor was right to say, like, that's not gonna fucking fix it. So
like, you have to vote, obviously.
Yeah, you still need to vote, but it's not a solution here.
I got angry because some guy replied to her tweet and was like, yeah, but you still have to vote. Like, we have to vote. And I was like, she never said don't vote. It's just like, voting doesn't really have anything to do with this situation. This is bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And like, people who are just like, we fix this by voting. Like, those are the people that the only activism they do is every 4 years they vote in a presidential election, and they don't even look up any of the local shit that's on that ballot. So I don't know. Vote for your local elections. Pay attention to who's running in like local elections, because that's going to make a difference for like your local judicial system, right?
Yeah.
Beyond that, I don't know.
Yeah, like what do you do? And I imagine there's going to be more protests and inevitably more violence, because people are like, well, I was worried. I was worried about these protests, so I had to come and kill three people. You know how it is. These things happen.
Out of self-defense, I drove across state lines and murdered three people. Yeah. Because I was so scared for my life.
Terrified.
Terrified. It's funny, but it's not. It's really not,
but like, what else can you do?
I don't know. I'm so sad for the families of the people that he killed. I hate it. Because that's just like so awful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, there is no justice, so... Oh, it makes me very
angry. I guess that means there's no peace, would you say?
Yeah. When I hear no justice, I think no peace, absolutely.
Okay. Glad we're on the same page there.
Yeah, we absolutely are. Other shitty stuff going on. You know, Harry Potter, the movies, I guess, are 20 years old. The first one is. And so all of like the Harry Potter people who were like, oh, you know, we don't stand with J.K. Rowling on that, but they're still going to go and celebrate that shit. And I'm like, okay, like, you need to not, or if you're going to be on there, at least say, call it out, you know, which I know is not going to happen for this HBO Max corporate bullshit. And I'm like, I don't trust people when they're like, well, you know, we're allies. We don't believe.
I'm an ally.
I always do that. I don't know why. I think it's because I bowled a lot as a kid, but it's so hypocritical to like, be like, we condemn this. And then you're like, but we do want to keep making money from it, so.
Yeah. I it's so sad because I loved Harry Potter.
I did too.
As a kid.
I have a Harry Potter. I know
you
tattoo.
Have those tattoos.
Get rid of it. Take the
burn
skin.
Burn it off my skin.
No,
take
I'm
going to
get it covered
cursed
up.
Cursed skin.
With something that could never possibly be terrible.
It's just sad. It's like it was a generation forming thing that was like very. That informed a lot of our childhoods, was like this story. And yeah.
But it was always terrible. Like, if you go back and read the stuff, you're like, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like Hermione, who like gave a shit about the elves' labor rights, and everyone around her is like, psh,
you idiot.
Nerd. They're just elves. They don't have souls. Like,
it's not illegal because they don't have souls.
Exactly. So I do this thing where I like the Harry Potter movies to me are still kind of like comfort food. But so I do this thing where I only will watch them off of a friend's Plex server, and he illegally stole them. Mm-hmm. And anytime I do watch them, I donate $25 to the Trevor Project as my ticket price.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Because the hard thing is they're still in, like, I do still like the movies. I like the books. I haven't read them They're though, enjoyable. In years now because of all of this.
Oh yeah, and I haven't read the books. We listened to all of the audiobooks beginning of COVID. Mm-hmm. So we would just like put them on and then cook and stuff, but yeah, I didn't think about that after I had already had them in my Audible library. So I didn't really think about it, but they're nice to listen to as audiobooks because it's like I already know this story, so I can put it on and fall asleep.
Yeah,
or something.
I legally obtained the audiobooks some years ago, definitely legally.
Nice.
And they're definitely all in my iTunes same. Still. Yeah, so it's like yeah. I have them. They're pretty long. There's a big chunk of files.
Yeah, but I love the movies, so I watch them that way off of Plex. No one makes any money, and I donate money when I watch them.
It's penance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of shitty stuff in the world, and it's bad to be alive, and existence is pain. So, you know, just carry that with you into the holiday season.
But we are buying a lake house. So yeah. There is that.
My favorite. No, you go ahead.
Existence is pain, but we are going to be able to spend our summers sitting on a dock and drinking, and that will be nice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to be there the whole summer, even when you're not.
I never finished telling the story because we got distracted talking about how bad the world is. It's really cheap, relatively, but we still wanted to get a loan for it because like rates are pretty low right now and the market's doing well, so it doesn't make sense for us to take our money out of the markets and buy a house. So the bank that we originally got pre-approved for was like, no, this is too old and it's a mobile home. Go fuck yourself. And then I looked it up and it was like no one will give you a loan for a mobile home built before 1976. So we had to go through a really tiny credit union up north, and they were like, yeah, it's old, technically we're not supposed to, but we're gonna make an exception because it looks like it's in good shape. The problem is that they did not give us a good interest rate, so we now have to pay it off really quickly, which was not the original plan. But I think we'll still come out ahead, and, you know, we're just going to use it in the summers and relax there. So, and then in a few years, we're going to bulldoze it and get a fresh loan and put like a really nice modular home on it. There's one a few houses down that's like, they make these beautiful like modular homes that they pretty much just like bring in with a crane and drop it onto the foundation. Like, there you go. There's your house. And
one house.
They're just gorgeous inside, like they're like 3 beds, 2 baths, like beautiful house. And so that's the long-term plan.
Well, I'm excited for you to build a recording studio, as I previously mentioned. So
it does have a basement that's like a stone basement.
That's something we go down there studio. We can record. David can just go down there to scream sometimes. It'll be soundproofed.
I don't think it's soundproof.
Then we'll do some soundproofing so he can scream.
Okay. Important.
We got to keep it acoustically deadened.
You can also just scream up there. It's in the middle of the national forest. No one will hear you.
There's neighbors. You have those shitty neighbors with the dogs.
So there's some gossip about them. So apparently they got that house from their mom for really, really cheap because the mom was trying to sell it for like $140,000, $150,000. It's a disgusting old cabin like down on the lake that they've not taken care of.
Disgusting.
And she couldn't sell it because it's gross, and so she sold it to her sons, there's two of them, for like $90,000, and they've been sharing it or splitting it or whatever, and then sometimes they rent it out like as a cheap Airbnb, and they hate each other now.
Oh, perfect.
And they don't talk to each other. They only talk to each other's attorneys. And they both like definitely drink like a pack or a case of beer a day and smoke like a pack a day. And they are both like withering away into, you know, dying. So we're like, maybe soon we'll just get that land also, because that's the land that's in between my parents' house and the one that we're trying to buy. So maybe we'll just have that whole corner of the lake eventually.
Mm-hmm. Well, if I ever rob a bank, then maybe I'll get one too.
Oh my God.
We'll rename it to Team Lake.
I still like David's joke of like, The good news is that a condo in San Francisco and a lake house is about the same cost as a condo in San Francisco.
Listen.
It's just in the noise at that point.
I love living here and I'm never moving, so
yeah, excited but you can to convince live you guys there.
To come live here.
You can live there, and then for the 2 months of the year that the air is terrible there, you can live on a little cabin in northern Michigan, and it'll be so much fun.
I guess, if the internet's good, and I can hunt
people.
That
would be
people.
So much fun. We can get all of our friends up there, little cabins.
You gotta get enough beds.
You get your own cabin.
Oh, that's right. If I kill your parents, does their cabin become mine? I don't know how cabin rules work. I know it's different.
No.
Okay. Well, I guess I don't have to kill them. I don't have
to. You just have to seduce my dad.
It wouldn't be hard. All I have to do is be like, Tim, you're so cool.
Tim, you're so handy. You build so many things.
Could you fix a desk?
Can you fix my car?
Yeah. My car's making a sound, and I don't know what it means. And then I wink at him. Works every time.
Oh, man.
I picture it being like that video. I don't know if you've seen it where the woman is being like she's in a porn film. And she's like, I dropped all my things, and I'm going to have to bend over and pick them up. I was like, oh, no, that's okay. I'll help you. Like the repairman is super chill and completely oblivious.
Unaware.
Yeah.
That sounds hilarious.
She's like, I got my hand stuck in the dryer. And then he just grabs her arm and pulls out. He's like, you're good. And she's like,
I got your hand.
How do I repay you? And he's like, well, I'll send you an invoice. It's fine. It's pretty funny.
I haven't seen that, but that would be my
dad. I'll have to track it down.
For sure.
Pretty funny.
That would be him.
Well, cool. Should we do posts?
Yeah. Okay. I'm trying to get my keyboard to work again.
Why?
Because I need it to use my computer.
You only know like a dozen words.
That's a good point. Yeah. I didn't think about it like that.
I'm not convinced I know how to read. I think I've just memorized a lot of words.
That's one of the best Nick Miller quotes.
I know. It's so funny. Because then you yourself question like, wait, is that knowing how to read?
Is that different?
Am I doing it right? Oh, God.
Oh, gosh. Oh, no. Why don't you find us a post?
Why don't you go to hell?
Well, we can do both, you know.
That's true. Might as well. All I read was the title, so I don't know. This one is, Am I the Asshole? I did not send my ex-fiancé's belongings to her. 3 months ago, Vanessa no-showed me on the day of the wedding. She had not mentioned any disagreements, and I was taken by surprise when she just did not show up at the altar. We had been living together in a rented apartment. I tried reaching out to her and her parents' numbers, but they had all blocked me, I believe, so I stopped trying to contact them and left the apartment after paying my share of dues. The apartment owner asked me to take her belongings with me as well, but I refused and told him to contact her himself and gave him hers and her family phone numbers and address. I also requested him not to share my new contact details with my ex or her family. I then moved to a different city and rented a studio apartment for myself. The previous apartment owner called me soon after to say that he had tried contacting her but couldn't reach her, so he left all of her belongings at the police station. Even
that's
like
place to
nicer
leave
than normal. Yeah, usually you just see them out on the ground.
But the police station isn't a lost and found. They probably just threw them out.
Yeah, they're like, we don't want this. Maybe they took some stuff. Maybe she had like nice shoes or something.
Yeah.
My ex came to my parents' home a week ago and found me there. She was mad at me for leaving her belongings at the apartment instead of contacting her. Apparently, the apartment owner sued her for not paying rent and going no contact.
Good.
She had to pay a huge amount to compensate for it. I told her that she should not have blocked me if she was keen on getting her belongings back. Now she's ranting about me on her social media from what I've heard from close friends. Maybe I should have tried contacting her more before leaving her belongings there so that she would not have been sued by the homeowner. Am I the asshole?
Who cares?
Yeah, no.
No.
She sounds terrible. What is this?
This sounds like a little too one-sided to be real. Like, there's got to be more to this story than just this, right? Like, this is insane.
There are very few comments. One says, she's now with another guy. I think she cheated on me and did not want to confess it. And then this one is in response to someone said she blocked you and then got angry that you didn't contact her, as long as you squared everything away with the landlord before you left, I'd say that's where your obligations ended. And he said, well, I only paid my share of the dues. I did not clear her dues for her. That's why he sued her. And I think that, like, given that situation, like, such a shitty breakup out of nowhere, as far as we know, I don't think he's an asshole.
It's cool that the apartment, like, landlord wasn't like, no, you have to pay me all of it. Because, like, David and I signed our lease together. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to, like, if I just walked out, I'm pretty sure our landlord would still be like, you still owe me all of it. So maybe they had two leases, but...
Well, I don't know.
We just have the one lease.
Like, the leasing situations, I feel like, in other cities than where I've lived are not as bad. Like, Ann Arbor is terrible leasing.
True.
It's awful.
And our landlord is just a person, so I feel like if it was a situation like that, he'd be fine with being like, okay, you pay me your half, and I'll take her to court over her half.
Yeah, especially if you went to him like, hey, you know, she just didn't show up for the wedding, so...
Question mark?
Yeah, not
I'm
sure.
I'm pretty sad.
Not sure I'm equipped to deal with this, but maybe I pay you my part, and then, you know, she can go to hell. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I don't like that. I don't think he's an asshole. And he tried to contact her anyway. So, like, she, if she hadn't blocked him, assuming that she had blocked him and they weren't just ignoring him, but, like, he tried to say, I'm doing this, so maybe figure out your side of it.
But why would she be like, you should have called me if she blocked him? Like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, I mean, if he tried to contact her and she didn't answer, that's still on her. Like, I wouldn't keep trying to contact that person. I will say, as someone who has two failed engagements, I might be biased, you know?
Yeah, you know. At least they broke up with you before the wedding day and not just, like, not showing up.
True. That would have been way more
inconvenient. I feel like you gotta get, like, a text the morning of the wedding. Like, right? Like, I'd be like, hey, we still doing this?
Yeah. Like, maybe you
because I'm going to be so embarrassed if you don't show up.
And you're like, babe, I'm so excited for a wedding today. And then she responds, actually, about that quick little thing you should know. Instead of getting married, I'm not.
I'm just not
going to do it. You can have all the food, though. You know how much food you have when a wedding gets canceled, like, afterward?
A lot.
People don't hang out and eat.
No. When you're heartbroken, they're like, okay, bye.
Like, ooh, this is weird. You know what? We're good. We'll hit Taco Bell on the way home.
Imagine, like, you're at, like, a work acquaintance's wedding, and their fiancé doesn't show up to the... And you don't know this person that well, so you're just kind of like, do you guys want to go out to eat? Should we just go get food? This is weird. I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah, I'm not super upset because I don't really know them. I am pretty hungry, though, so...
I don't think we have to give them our gift now, though. Sure, I'm glad we waited until the reception to give them that card.
Absolutely. Do you still give them the gift, though? Like, would you? In that situation, would you be like, hey, that sucks. You can keep the panini press.
If I had sent them money... Oh, if I had sent it already, then yeah. You can't ask for that back.
No, you bring it to the church for the wedding.
That's not what people do anymore.
I've seen The Office. I know they do it. Are you texting?
Hey.
I know. I'm watching you do something else.
Okay. Well, that one was easy and also pretty nuts. So
yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
We can move right along. I have this person on Reddit who, like, posted asking about a class in our master's program, and I answered their post, and then they were like, they DM'd me asking a ton of questions about the program and everything, so I sent, like, a pretty succinct answer to all of their questions. Now they keep messaging me on Reddit with more and more questions about the class and the program and the workload, and I'm just like, please leave me alone.
Do you regret being helpful?
A little bit, yeah.
Wow.
All right, this one's about dogs. I love dogs, so I'm going to read this
Only like one dog.
Is it Cammy?
It is Cammy.
Cammy had to go to the vet yesterday, and she had a terrible time.
She looked happy in the picture you sent me. Was that before anything happened?
Yeah. So that was like, you get to the vet, you like, the tech like comes out, meets you outside, and then brings you all into the little room inside, and like she gets to go through a special door because she hates dogs, and there were dogs in the waiting room. So the tech just came outside and was like, hey, just coming through the back door. So we like sneak her in, and she's in the room, and the tech is there, and she's just giving her all these belly rubs and all these treats, and Cammy's just like, ah, but was also really excited because there were so many smells. So she was like running around the room smelling mm-hmm, everything. Mm-hmm. Just like so happy. And then the tech's like, okay, I gotta go to get the doctor, and we'll come back in here with the doctor. So Cammy had only been to this vet one time before this, or two times, but it was like during the peak of the pandemic, and we were not allowed to go inside the vet with them. So they came outside, got her, brought her inside, did all the things, and then came back out really quick. And so she was very traumatized both of those times because I wasn't in there with her. So like to her, it's just like, I'm in the car with mom. Some lady comes and gets me out of the car. I go into this room. I get a bunch of shots. Someone's like looking at my teeth, putting their finger up my butt. And then I go back out to the car. It's like, what the hell? So she used to love the vet, and this was like traumatic for her apparently. So this time she's all happy. We're like, okay, it's going to go well. Cause we were allowed to come in this time. The doctor comes in, Cammy goes up, gives her a sniff, and then immediately starts shaking and lays down. She remembered. Yes, and lays down like on this like giant scale they have for you to take the dog's weight, lays down and pees all over herself.
Cammy.
She was so scared.
If she knew you were telling this story, she'd be so embarrassed.
I know. And so she was so scared the whole time. And I was really worried because, like, she hid underneath this bench that they had in there where David and I were sitting. So she basically hid under the bench behind our legs. And so the doctor is like, well, I have to, like, get her vitals and stuff. So they use the leg to, like, check their pulse and stuff. And so the doctor, like, reaches under the bench and is, like, doing stuff. And I'm like, I'm worried she's going to feel trapped. Like, I was like, she's never bit anyone before. Mm-hmm. But you don't know what they're going to do when they're that stressed out. So I was just like, how about I pull her out from under the bench and then I'll hold her in my lap. And the vet was like, well, she's covered in pee. I was like, well, it's better than her biting you.
You should be like, so me too. To be honest, I am also.
So I held her like in my arms. And as soon as I started holding her, she just like collapsed. She just like relaxed into my chest and was just like, oh Mom, thank God. What's going on?
Thank God. Did you see what they were doing?
So then they like did all this stuff. They had to give her two different shots that she needed, and then they had to look at her teeth and all this stuff. And so the whole time I'm like holding her, but she's like shaking and like having a horrible time. And then the shots that she got, the side effects like make her really loopy for like one night. It's just like the parvo shot and her rabies shot, but that she's very sensitive to them. This happened last year too, where like that whole evening she was basically kind of out of it. And so last night, we had also given her a trazodone before the vet, but it didn't kick in until we got home. Trazodone is like dog anxiety medicine, basically. Mm-hmm. And so that was kicking in while she was having these side effects from her shot. And so she was like so stoned. Like she'd be looking at me on the couch and her eyes were like this, like the stoner eyes where they're like slits. And she's just like, what is going on? And then she'd been laying on the couch and David went down there to like get her to take her outside before we go to bed. And so he goes down there and he's standing in the living room and he goes, Cammy, and she doesn't turn to look at him. And then he goes, Cammy. And she just like really slowly moves her head over her shoulder.
She's like, hey, what's up?
We gotta go outside. He's like, we gotta go outside. And so she gets off the couch, she stretches, she goes outside and pees, comes back inside and then starts like walking back towards the couch. And he's like, no, it's time for bed. And so she walks upstairs real slow and she gets in the big bed with me. And then I remember that she peed all over herself earlier. So I was like, ah, you should get down. So she gets down and then she like stands at the foot of the bed and is like staring at us for like a few seconds and then turns towards the door of the bedroom. And in slow motion, because I was like, get in your bed. Like she has her bed right next to our bed. In slow motion, she starts to walk towards the door of the bedroom, like walking out. Like she's like, I don't know where to go.
I don't know what's happening.
So we were like, no, Cammy, no, get in your bed. And so she turns around and we're pointing at her bed. We're like, get in your bed. And she's like, oh, and just like slowly starts like, to what? And then just like collapses in her bed and is just like, oh, thank God I made it.
She okay today?
Yeah, she was totally fine when we woke up.
Are you going to give her a bath? Because I heard she's covered in pee.
Yeah, she does need a bath. Okay. I got this post, and then maybe we skip our break because I got to shower and stuff before we go on a date.
Where are you going?
We are going to get dinner. We don't know where. And then go to a moth story night. You know, the I bought tickets for it a couple weeks ago and I forgot. Yesterday they texted me and they were like, don't forget, you have this thing. And I was like, thank you for texting me because I did forget. So we're going to go to that. So that'll be fun. Okay. I'm going to read this post. Am I the asshole for not boarding my dog for Thanksgiving? I don't know. Need more information. Good thing we can read the post. I, 27 male, have a 2-year-old Doberman Pinscher that is super sweet and just loves to snuggle with anyone that he meets. I adopted him as a puppy. Some of my family was not thrilled. That's not correct. It's were. That he was a Doberman. The first time my parents, sister, and brother met him was at a barbecue. My sister and brother made comments about how he was going to grow up aggressive and not be good around kids. He's not aggressive at all and is a huge baby and loves to lick people to death. Thanksgiving is next week and some family members are coming in from other states. They are flying in on Monday and depart on Saturday. I am currently living in my grandfather's cabin that he left to me when he passed. It has 3 bedrooms that are unoccupied. My uncle and aunt want to stay in the cabin but do not want my dog in the house. They suggested boarding him at the local pet lodge from Monday until Saturday. I did call and ask for pricing, and they told me it would be very expensive. Yeah, boarding a dog is, like, it's insane. It's, like, $150 a day. I also did not want my dog to be gone for almost an entire week in a place he's never been. I called my aunt and told her I was not going to board my dog in the pet lodge. This was his home, and he has every right to stay. I offered to pay for a few nights in a hotel room, and my aunt was not happy. She starts yelling at me that he is just a dog and family is more important. My family got involved and are on my aunt's side. My sister and brother think I should board him to prevent more problems. Am I the asshole for not boarding my dog for Thanksgiving? No.
No, I don't like your family. They shouldn't come.
Then you just got to go to the aunt and be like, if you want me to board him, you have to pay for it. Like, that's it. Sorry.
You know, how's the dog going to handle that change?
It's stressful.
Different? Yeah, so I wouldn't want to
like,
do that.
Is she scared of him? Because Dobermans are big, and they can be scary. Like, is it, could you keep the dog in a different room? Like, right? That seems like a compromise. Like, he's going to stay here. He'll stay in my room, you know. I'll take him for walks and stuff, but otherwise he won't bother you. But it's, yeah. Somebody says, do not offer to pay for a hotel.
Yeah, not like even let sure them at this point I'd offer to let them stay at my house. Your place. I wouldn't. I'd be like, okay, yeah, well, if you don't want to live in my house as it is or come stay in the house, then don't come.
The poster says they're now debating about coming for Thanksgiving at all. According to them and my parents, I ruined the holiday over a dog. No, they ruined the holiday over a dog. Why couldn't they just get a hotel if they don't like your dog?
Sounds like you and your dog are going to be eating a whole turkey together.
What's this? Okay. Somebody says, I don't know. This story smells kind of dodgy. My doggy daycare opened holiday boarding bookings in April and sold out that week. The owners mentioned that they've been deluged by pissed customers who cannot get boarding. My friends with pets were in a similar place in early October with everyone asking friends from dog parks if they'll board at home. One friend found availability the week before Thanksgiving for $200 a day as compared to the usual $80. Not the asshole, obviously, but I'm skeptical that there's pet boarding with any availability at all over Thanksgiving / Christmas by mid-November 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is strange. I had to, we're having a friend stay here with Cammie because Cammie already knows her and, you know, and she's a college student, so she's going to be psyched to, like, live here with a dog for 5 days and get paid. But Yeah, finding availability for this week, you would have had to do it like months and months
yeah,
ago.
Yeah,
so
have to
it is a little strange that they could just call a boarding place like last week and have them be like, "Oh, it's this much." Like, what?
I don't think you should upset the dog's life because your aunt's a jerk.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion, though, and I'm usually right, so.
Yeah. I do, like, caution people against, and I say this as someone who owns a pit bull, of being like, it's just how you raise him, and he's just a big baby. Yes, but also, these types of dogs were bred for specific things, and they do have certain genetic triggers. This has nothing to do with this post. You're obviously not the asshole in this situation. I'm just, in order to be the best advocate you can be for your dog, you have to know their genetic predispositions. And Dobermans are predisposed to being aggressive. It doesn't mean that this dog is, but they just are. It's the same with pit bulls. It's the same with Rottweilers. Like, there's reasons why these dogs have a reputation. So, like, you know, because there's all these myths about, like, pit bulls were actually nanny dogs. They actually babysat kids. No, it's just not true. And, like, it only hurts them if you don't actually know what you're getting into when you adopt those dogs. Like, the reason why there are so many pit bull bites is because people who don't understand the dog and the breed get them, and then they bite people. Like, so I would just be aware of that.
That's why I stick with the cats. Cats only bite also, you after you're dead.
It also makes owners feel shitty. Like, when you're like, it's all in how you raise them, and then you end up with a dog that's still reactive. It's like, well, I did everything right, and this dog is still like this. Like, it's not your fault.
Maybe you're the problem then.
You're right.
Didn't think of that, did you?
I guess I didn't. Somebody said, here's a good one. Somebody says, full disclosure, I have dogs and would not board them for a week just to allow guests to stay over. So I get it, and you're fine to say a plain no to this request. However, I have a friend that has a discomfort around large dogs, and when she visits, I do block off a, quote, pet zone with gates so the dogs will not directly interact with her. Is that not possible in the cabin? Not really clear about whether your cabin is on the same land with a main house or whether brother and sister live at home, etc. Could siblings stay in the cabin with you and free up their rooms for aunt and uncle? Not the asshole, I'm just saying that there might be compromises here. Yeah, I do that anytime like someone's coming over who I don't know if they like dogs. Like, mm-hmm. I'll be like, just so you know, I have a dog. She's pretty excitable and
but
anxious.
But she is the best dog in the world, to be clear.
If you're nervous with dogs, I can keep her upstairs. Like, we'll just put her in the room and I put her with a food puzzle. I do that when my brother and sister-in-law come over with my nephew. Like, she'll interact for a little bit, but she's still pretty nervous around him because he's one and likes to like stumble around, and like his dogs at home let him do whatever. So he'll like want to grab her ears and like grab her feet, and like she doesn't like it, and I would never want anything to happen. So I'm just saying, it's easier if we just, you know, they can enjoy each other from a distance until he's old enough to understand that not all dogs want to be ridden and poked and pulled and everything else. So,
not all dogs, but definitely that one.
Cammy does not like him. She's like scared of him. Like, I think it's just she's never been around it like a toddler. She doesn't even know what they are. So I think it's just like, here's this tiny human who wants to run at me and scream and like poke my eyes. And she's
Which
just like, no,
just,
absolutely
nobody wants
not.
It, yeah. Not for Cammy. Normally maybe, but not, no.
But he has like a Labrador at home that dog will let him like ride her and like pull her ears and pull on her eyelids and like what, like she's just like whatever.
Yeah. I feel like pets put up with a lot from kids, like younger kids.
Yeah, and I think it's different if it's your kid. Like, sometimes dogs, like, know that, it like, if it's your biological kid, like, they smell you, and they, like, when they're around the baby from when they're a newborn, they're more likely to be more patient, I think. Mm-hmm. But because he only comes over once every few weeks, she's like, no, I'm good.
No, thank you.
I try to, like, every time she sees him, I, like, hand him a cookie, and then I take his little, like, sausage hand and, like, put it towards her mouth and be like, here, give her a treat, because if you don't guide his hand to it, he'll put the cookie in his mouth.
He's like, great, a treat for me.
But then like, she the takes fuck? It and she's very, very gentle when she takes it out of his hand, and then he'll like giggle. It's like very funny because she's just like, oh, cookie, okay, and I'll be like gentle, and she's like, okay, I'll be gentle,
I'm being good. Good cookie. All right. Well, I'm going to read our last one here.
Oh my God, this looks great.
Yeah, I saw the title. I searched for controversial posts, which normally they don't downvote people that they think are assholes, like in the post itself, but apparently they did for this. It's called "Am I the Asshole for an Incident After Being, Quote, Rejected at the Arcade?" In parentheses, hard to explain. Please read. I'm going to skip the TLDR.
Okay.
I arrive at Dave and Buster's and I see a family at the Pump It Up machine.
I like that this is a narrative. It's present tense. It's a story, yeah.
Pump It Up is a dance game commonly seen in arcades, and I played a lot. It's great context, DDR, if you don't know it. I mean, it's a DDR clone, basically. The mother and daughter, both casuals, just finished stage two. There were seven credits in the machine.
Like, they're not regulars at the arcade?
Well, they're not. They're not good at the Pump It Up, you know. They're noobs.
Oh, they're casuals.
They're noobs.
They're these normies.
Yeah, normies stormed the arcade to do their cash shit, and I wasn't feeling it. There were seven credits in the machine, which is not common at all. Usually, the techs can pump two or three credits into the machine to incentivize people to play, but I have never seen seven credits in the machine at any given time. So I said hi, and I put up my backpack, water bottle, phone on the table next to the machine, and I took out my card to put it on the machine, a common etiquette for dance gamers. When they were done with their set, I asked if I could play next, and she kind of brushed me to the side. I asked about the credits, and the mom said that all of the seven credits were hers, which I am doubtful of. They went again, and the daughter failed on the second song. At that point, I offered her some tips and got her to agree to play with me for that last round so that I can show her how to play.
That's so weird.
I picked a song she played before, just on a higher difficulty. At the end, she commented, "How do you even get 900 plus perfects?" In parentheses, I sensed some jealousy for a perceived flex on my part.
Oh my God.
Then I asked if I could do a quick set of doubles, and she didn't explicitly say no. I admit that I didn't put in a credit for that. I didn't take up too much of their time. I sensed that the mom started getting frustrated then. After my set, I asked if I could play with her again, and I apologized and reimbursed her credit. She looked more towards her kids, asking if the kids wanted to play, and when they didn't respond, she started the set herself without my input. She wanted to play this one song, and I tried to show her how to get there, so I joined, which used one of her credits. I suggested that we try level ones to make it easy. We couldn't pick the song we wanted, and the song started. I think sometimes there's like a time limit when you go to pick, and it'll just pick if you're not paying attention. And the song started. She was frustrated. In the middle of the song, she stopped playing and then shoved my stuff off the table. My water bottle was open, so there was a spill. I was shocked and upset inside, but that was overwhelmed by amusement, because who does this kind of stuff?
Oh my God.
At this point, the family was gone entirely, and there were still four credits left. I spoke to a staff member about this incident. After my set, I hunted down this family and started my apology. However, the mom didn't want to hear it, claiming that I leached off their credits. I didn't finish my apology. I laughed it off for the most part, but some part of me feels a little guilty, and another part of me feels upset. In my time in the arcades, whether it be DDR or Pump It Up, casuals have been more willing to cooperate with, in quotes, more experienced players like me. I've always thought of myself as an ambassador for the dance game community, so I was taken aback by this experience. The way this is written, I'm like, you're an asshole regardless. It's so bad.
Are you finished reading? Can I comment?
Yeah, please.
This guy definitely has a fedora with a feather in it, and he goes to those classes that are like how to seduce women to make them do what you want.
Pickup artist stuff?
That's the energy. Yeah.
Let's see. He's pre-med. I'm looking through his post history. He's pre-med, going to a college in Tampa, Florida. Morsani.
Gross.
USF Morsani College of Medicine.
This guy should not be a doctor.
He plays Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. He goes to Dave and Buster's a lot because he's complaining about that. Let's see. What else? He's a Wall Street Bets guy.
He stole their money.
I know. I'm like, you like, stole their credits. You said, I'm going to just start playing. That's fine. Okay.
Imagine you're playing that game, which has like it has two platforms, and some guy just gets up there with you and he's like, I'm just going to play with you. You're like, no.
You're like, no, I don't know you. So
no, that's so weird.
Yeah, it's super weird. Like he's right that if you put your card down or coins, it used to be, you know, you put your quarters or tokens on the machine to say I have next play. But you have to let the people finish their play first. You don't just get to use it.
If they want to do a few more songs, you don't get to be like, okay, it's my turn.
Yeah, they decide when it's done. It's just the way he wrote it was like, I tried to be reasonable and I don't understand why the casuals revolted.
So is he... Oh, okay. I don't understand why it says, like, after being rejected, like, saying, like, is he banned from Dave & Buster's?
Yeah, I don't know. What was rejected? His offer of help?
I don't know. I guess.
He wanted to mansplain how to DDR to this family? What would we call it? Nerdsplain?
If I was the mom, I would have told somebody.
Yeah, like, I would have gone and complained and got him kicked out.
Yeah, I'd be like, this kid started just playing while we were still playing. He stole our credits and he was super rude. Like, please don't let him back in here.
Mm-hmm.
But he probably spends a lot of money there. So
no one thinks that he's not the asshole, which is nice.
Great. I also like that the post itself was downvoted, because usually even when people are assholes, the post will still get upvotes because, like, people want it to be read because they're like, this is crazy.
Yeah, it says, you're the asshole for strong-arming your way into joining a family activity where you clearly weren't wanted.
Somebody said it's concerning how self-aware he is, especially when he's studying medicine.
So that's my thought, too. I'm like, you're going to be a shit doctor. Someone's going to be trying to do a surgery. Like, you're doing it too casually. Yeah, the insufferable one. I just saw that, too. Stop giving people help they didn't ask for.
You can be an ambassador all you want, but you came across as overbearing. I won't pretend to have played more than one game, maybe two arcade games in my life, but I do play in the wargaming space. Sounds like we maybe have a similar idea of trying to help and be friendly and welcome new people, but I would never play a game for another person, ever. It sounds like a family that was just trying to have fun with each other. They probably weren't nearly as enthusiastic about this as you, and it was probably just a one-off evening for them. Yeah, like, I've never played this game. I'd go to the arcade and be like, ah, fun, a dance game. Let us dance.
It'll be good even if I'm not good.
Yeah, it'll be fun because it's a silly game. Mm-hmm, and then this guy shows up and he's like, well, you're fucking horrible. Want me to help you?
Yeah.
Like, no.
He probably said, m'lady.
David heard me.
May I
please? David heard me say the bit about how this guy definitely has a fedora with a feather in the cap. And he texted me, Stanzo brand fedora.
Ugh. He looks
like an
idiot.
It's gotta be good on my end, otherwise no fucking deal.
Did you see his hat?
Yeah, Did you see Dan's hat?
The lack of awareness around other people and their enjoyment of what they're trying to do. It's ridiculous.
Some people play games just to have fun.
That can't be true. No.
What?
Remember how every time we play a game you lose because you don't have an inquisitive mind?
Because you don't have a curious mind. My tweet with Mark Zuckerberg, it was a picture, it was like a stock photo Zuckerberg talking to his girlfriend, and the night after the Meta announcement, I made a ton of I think you should leave Mark Zuckerberg memes, and one of them was Mark Zuckerberg talking to his girlfriend, and like, she's not looking at him, she's like looking at the ground and smiling, they're on a walk, and he's looking at her, and I just captioned it, remember when I told you you'd never be a writer because you don't have a curious mind? And that's the I think you should leave memes retweeted it.
I saw so that. You're so that powerful now. You have so much reach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I gotta go and go back over to Chris's. One of the cats seems like it may be ill, so we're gonna take it to the emergency vet, and then we're just gonna see where the evening takes us. I don't know what's gonna happen after that. It's bad timing for it.
Yeah.
This is
I'm gonna shower and then we're gonna go out.
Okay. Cool.
That's always sad when bad things happen to nice cats.
I know. Like, if it was a jerk cat, I'd still be upset because I love cats. But you'd kind of be like, well, you know, maybe be nicer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most cats are jerks, but when they're nice, then I like them.
How often
my brother's cat
nice?
My brother's cat is almost always a jerk to me, but every so often you can tell that, like, no one's pet her that day because she'll see me come in and she's like, I know this bitch is desperate to pet me. And she'll, like, rub on my leg and purr. And I'm like, oh, my God, she never lets me pet her. So then I'll pet her for, like, 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden she'll look me dead in the eyes and then just go, Marr! And, like, hit me and run away.
Yeah. That's
you just
like
decided you were done.
Cats. So Chris has a cat named Linnaeus that like has abandonment issues. And so it's taken me a year to get her to be comfortable with me, like where she'll actually sit on my lap and I can pet her without her trying to bite my hand and scratch me. But only briefly, like maybe 5 minutes of that before she's like, okay, no, nope, nope.
It happened once where I was staying at my brother's house and I got up before them and I went downstairs and like made my coffee and I was just sitting at the kitchen table and the cat jumps up on the kitchen table and like purrs and just like starts rubbing me and I'm like, what the hell? And so I just start petting her and I'm like so excited. I'm like, oh my gosh, good morning, hello. And her name is Loki, of course, because she loves chaos.
Because she's evil, yeah.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden she like kind of sniffs my hand and then looks at me and then is like, and runs away. And I'm like, what? You just remembered that this was me and that you don't like me?
Like, wait a minute. This bitch. Nice. I love
the
cats.
The other cat, my brother, the cats have a room in the basement. It's just a closet, but he's like gutted it and put their like scratchy posts in there and their water fountain and their litter box and everything's all in there. And the closet
cat
has
cat
doors. Yeah. And his one cat, Luna, never comes out of that room if there's anyone else at the house. And since they've had the baby, she doesn't really come out of the room.
She's like, I don't want to hang out with your friends. I'm going to my room.
Yeah, so I've only seen her twice, and he's had her for 3 years.
I think Kyle Banis has a cat like that, or maybe had one, but it was, you just never saw it. It never came downstairs if there were people over, but you knew it existed.
Yeah, when it's just the two of them, like, hanging out down there, and the kid's already in bed, the cat will come out of the cat room and, like, curl up with them while they watch a movie. Perfect. But otherwise, yeah, that's, like, her desired level of interaction. It's like, I will sit on this couch adjacent to you while you watch a movie. I'm like, you could tell me this cat died 4 years ago and I would have no idea.
You're like, oh yeah, that cat, no, it's gone.
What?
What happened? Why?
All right, I gotta go shower and then go to the moth and listen to some people tell some good stories.
I hope you cry.
I probably will.
Good.
Those people are so good at stories, man.
Will you save your tears, please? Don't ask why.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay, bye.
All right, goodbye, everyone.